The epistle appointed for the fifth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the first letter of St. Peter the Apostle. Beloved, be all like-minded in prayer, compassionate, lovers of the brethren, merciful, reserved, humble, not rendering evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but contrariwise, blessing. For unto this you were called, that you might inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips, that they speak no deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek after peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the just, and his ears unto their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? Even if you suffer anything for justice' sake, blessed are you. So have no fear of their fear, and do not be troubled, but hallow the Lord Christ in your heart. The Gospel. Is taken from the fifth chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 22-24th verses. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Unless your justice exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the ancients, 'Thou shalt not kill,' and that whoever shall murder shall be liable to judgment. But I say that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. Whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be liable to the Sanhedrin. Whoever says, 'Thou fool,' shall be liable to the fire of Gehenna. Therefore, if thou art offering thy gift at the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has anything against thee, leave thy gift before the altar, and go first to be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." This is the end of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. I want you to talk about two little pieces that have been brought to my attention, and everything I say today is to remind you of the issues which divide the church, which issues delineate Catholics from anything else. This is only a sampling, of course, but if we try to cover the whole gamut, we would never end. This first note appeared in one of the churches in Jasper. The priest put out a special paper for the parish, and this little note was to be found in the paper. It is titled "Altar Server," you will observe, not altar boy, or just server. But anyhow, God calls us to be active participants in the Mass. What better way to do this than to be an altar server? Ask those who have served in the past or are now currently serving, and they will tell you that it is a great experience. So we see that in the mind of this priest writer, altar serving is for the person who is doing it. It is a great experience. Why? It's a wonderful opportunity and privilege to assist the priest at the altar, and, get this, and also a chance to see what goes on behind the scenes. Now that is good dramatic language. When you talk about behind the scenes, you're talking about there being a show. And what happens behind the scenes is everything that the people don't see except, you know, on the stage during the production. But if you become an altar server, you get to see what happens behind the scenes. Again, serving for your benefit. So you will get a little lift. That is not all. In addition to all this, I'm waiting for them to offer ballpoint pens. In addition to all this, it is fun. Hot doggity. So you serve because it is fun. If we observe that the servers here are having fun, they're in Dutch. This ministry, what is this? This ministry is open to all people from fifth grade through high school. Little girls and big girls and pretty girls, preferably perhaps pretty girls. Several training sessions will take place throughout the year. Adult servers are also welcome. Contact person, Father Tony. Now that gives you an idea of how they think of the Mass. It is a production, and everybody has a right to hope that he will enjoy it. There is a parish in Indianapolis called Holy Rosary Church. This is a unique parish because the pastor is the Vicar General of the Diocese, Monsignor Schadel, and his assistant is a priest of the Fraternity of St. Peter. The diocese has arranged with the fraternity that there be a priest there has been granted the permission to offer the traditional Latin Mass. And at this parish, the people have the option of going either to the new Mass or to the old Mass. This is a special little letter from Monsignor Schadel to his parishioners. And he talks about the fact that they have the two masses there. And when I read this, I had a number of thoughts. In fact, I have not been able to get this writing off my mind all week because it is so revealing. And the first thought I had as I read this is that the first casualty of heresy is truthfulness. The Monsignor is a liar, and lies, deceitfulness, falsehood, and deception run through this. But probably the stupid parishioners don't catch it. They think that this is just a darling situation, that they have the best of both worlds, the old and the new. But this is as rank as it gets. By the way, we're making a recording of this. Is the recording working all right? We're making a recording. We're going to circulate everything I say among the parishioners, Holy Rosary. This is what Monsignor said. Now listen closely and see if you perceive what is now the religion at Holy Rosary. To sum it up, you can be just about anything you want to be, and you can believe anything you want to believe, And the state of your soul can be anything that you decide to make it. You can be any kind of religionist you prefer. And so long as you don't make ways as Holy Rosary, not only are you in good standing with the Monsignor, you are in good standing with God. But those who do not have the right attitude, they're bad. And according to this writing, we're bad. Quotations. To make a long story short, after the changes in the way of the liturgy is celebrated, I'll repeat that, were made after Vatican II in the early 1960s, many people found them to be difficult and almost impossible to accept. You see what I mean by truthfulness going out the window? It wasn't that they were difficult to accept, they were unacceptable to them, and they left the church and have never come back. I met a man about 2 years ago in Missouri who attended one new mass as a young man. He never went back until he attended my mass because he said, I knew what I was seeing was not Catholic. Monsignor is not going to tell the truth about this, as he's not going to talk about the millions who have left the new mass and have never come back. Many of them left the church or began to attend unauthorized celebrations of the old mass. An example of such a schismatic group is the so-called St. Joseph Priory in Greenwood. That's us. You notice he calls us a schismatic group. He lied. We're not a schismatic group at all. We're in perfectly good standing in the church. We are scrupulously obedient to all the laws of the church and the commands, provided they are not contrary to our faith. But since the council, very few commands have been given which are not contrary to the faith. So we are classified as disobedient, schismatic, and rebellious. But we are the best Catholics they have, poor as we are. We make something of the truth. When I said that Monsignor is not going to acknowledge about those who left the church, he's not going to acknowledge why they left. And he's not going to acknowledge that they were right in leaving. They were not right in not looking for something else. But they were right in leaving because to be present is offensive to God. Just over 10 years ago, Pope John Paul II gave permission for the traditional Latin Mass to again be celebrated as it was according to the 1962 Missal. So you see that even that permission is not altogether liberal and generous. You have to use the 1962 Missal. We use the 1962 Missal here, but we do not use any of the alterations from the older Missal. I think this Missal is the 1962 Missal. We like it because the calendar is excellent. But we do not use any of the little liberal, modernistic alterations. The same permission was given for the other six sacraments to be celebrated as they were just prior to the Vatican II changes. Not only older Catholics, but also many younger ones who love the ceremony and dignity of this form of worship rejoice. You see how the Monsignor is not going to touch the matter of dogma? He's not going to talk about how it happens that there is a new Mass why there is a new mayor. Everything is put on the basis of what one prefers. And our worship, our religion, is exactly contrary to our preference. That's the whole work of our religion, to require of us that we do not do what we prefer, but what God requires. Our preference means nothing. It is because we are so fallen and so twisted that our preferences are dangerous to us, and God must direct us. And God does command us, and He commands us under most grievous penalty if we do not obey. Again, in this little writing, none of these realities are going to be mentioned because they're not important in the new religion. What is important is that you have the right attitude, that you not ask questions and you not make waves, and you do not demand answers, and you do not look very closely. That's what it is wanted. And the result of being this way is the result of being the same way that most Americans are as citizens. Just a cut above stars. Stick. With no activity up here whatsoever. Save that for ball games to see if the referee made a bad call. That's what they use their brain for. He said, who love the ceremony and dignity of this form of worship, rejoice. It is not the ceremony and the dignity. That's just the external appearance. You can make the new man ceremonious and dignified. That's not the issue. It is the difference between what the old mass says and does and what the new mass deliberately does not say and does not do. That's why there is a new mass. Because the new mass is fabricated not to do and not to say the things that God required be said in His worship. That's why it exists. And again, the writer lies. He lies by not saying the truth. Under the late Archbishop Edward O'Meara, Indianapolis was one of the first places to take advantage of the permission. Another lie. No permission is necessary. And John Paul II has nothing to say about the liturgy. The Pope himself has nothing to say about the liturgy. It has been already legalized and established. No man may touch it as of 1570. Anyone who says Mass differently, this is what the letter of Pius V says, anyone who does it differently sins. That goes for the Pope also who follows him. And keep in mind, if it be necessary to say it, keep in mind, years do not weaken a law. The distance from the time the law was made does not make it weaker. The longer that law is in place, the stronger it gets. So that when they violated the law in 1969, it was much more grievous than if they had done it a century or so before. The Holy Father said that the permission to celebrate the Mass according to the Roman Missal of 1962 is a sign of the Church's understanding of those who prefer this liturgy, but was granted while confirming the good found in the liturgical reform desired for by the Second Vatican Council and implemented by Pope Paul VI. More lies. More deceit. He does not say what the good in the new Mass is. No one has ever found it. Because it is nothing but an excision. The new Mass, to a great extent, is what they left after they took their editor's pencil to the old Mass. And what did they cut out of the old Mass for the new? Doctrine. Particularly, did they violate the two doctrines that the Mass is an expiatory sacrifice and that the bread and the wine is changed into the body and blood of Christ. The two central doctrines they compromised in the new Mass. And notice what he said. While, he said, it's a sign of the Church's understanding of those who prefer this liturgy. It's not a matter of preference. No one is a Catholic by preference. You're Catholic by obligation, by necessity, by divine imperative. Because if you're not a Catholic, you're in danger of hellfire. That's not a preference. You have no choice about these things. You have a choice about all other religions, not the Catholic religion. God gives us no choice as to what he requires. Why should he give us choice? We're just little creatures of his. He can dispose of us as he wishes. He has all rights, and he does not err, and he does not sin, and he knows all, and he wants for himself. And he alone has the right to do all for himself. We have no right in the face of him unless he grants them to us, and he grants them to us through baptism. Before baptism, we have no right. We are already condemned. In other words, the Pope said his permission must not be seen as a signal that there is something wrong with the so-called new Mass. Everything is wrong with it. Or the changes made after Vatican II. Well, if everything is so wonderful, why is the Church and the state is changing? Why has it lost millions of people? And why are the priests so indifferent and worse? Why are they so quiet about all these millions who have left? Why don't they talk about what they're going to do to bring them back? Other than to have bingo games or a homecoming, but they're not going to change one line of their false doctrine. I don't think anyone around here thinks that. Oh, that's a telling phrase. Because I've talked to Father, and he disagrees with everything here. He's the assistant. He's the priest from the fraternity. But he doesn't agree with any of this. That's why he's there. But unfortunately, he has to compromise himself altogether, as all the priests of this fraternity must do in order to get into the parishes. So the diocese lays down the conditions whereby they may be there. They already renounce their faith, subordinate their Catholic faith to this new religion before they get in. And I said it's this much, as much to. And guess what? He admitted all this, but he said, well, our idea is that if we get in the parishes, over a period of time, we will be able to bring the people back. So he's engaged in a program of falsehood also. He is subordinating the truth to a strategy. Why doesn't he just face up and say, this is a Mass, and I don't need any permission to say it. That's what it is. There is great beauty and dignity to be found in both ways of celebrating the Mass. How can there be two Masses in the same religion, each of which has a theology of its own, the theology of the new contradicting the theology of the old, for which reason it exists, namely to contradict the doctrine of the old. That's why it exists. They're not going to admit it. That's why when you ask questions, they are resentful. They never admit anything when you ask questions. Those who would say that one is better than the other are on the wrong track. another falsehood. Those who would say, I beg your pardon, those who say one is valid while the other is not, are really on the wrong track. We've never said the new mass is invalid. We say that the validity of the consecration is questionable because it has never been proved. But the form of consecration has been altered. Again, they will not answer questions on this subject. But those who say they prefer one to the other have every right to do so. You see, it's a religion of taste. That is not the Catholic religion. And the Mass is supposed to be our offering to Almighty God. We're not important. The Mass is that very expression, as I've said often to you before. The Mass says to Almighty God, what I want has nothing to do with it. What you want is the totality of my obligation. Whatever you want, I give myself to you in the form of your Son. That is what religion is. To tell God that we adore Him to the very dust. You do not have a right to prefer the new mass any more than you have a right to prefer sin to virtue and offense to worship. Now, is this some kind of nostalgia trip? I don't think so. It was never meant to be. The liturgy is too sacred to be a vehicle for nostalgia trips, which liturgy has been talking about. But the point is, they gave this permission not because they have any care for the sentimentalities or the sensibilities of the people. Why did they give this permission? Because they were losing so many. And this is a shock to those who were so unhappy, but who were confused. This permission to have the old mass. And they want them back so that they can need them further, so that they can, you know, work with their minds further, as this priest is doing to his people. They don't want to lose them because they're busy manipulating. 10 years ago, a religious order called the Priestly Fraternity of St. Peter was founded to minister particularly to those who felt alienated from the church over the liturgical changes of the past 35 years. That is quite an admission, isn't it? He admits that they feel alienated. But again, he will not say why, and he will not say that they are right. They also are dishonest. If they knew their doctrine, they would not have to do it. And you're not going to save anyone's soul by mincing words or by doing something on the sly or seeking to deceive. To work a deal, that is not religion of our Lord. If our Lord had worked a deal with Pilate, he could have avoided the cross. The fraternity's recruiting poster reads, Building the Church of Tomorrow for the People of Today on the Church of the Ages. If I'm not mistaken, that's what we are all about. I'll reread that. If I'm not mistaken, that's what we are all about. So again, you see, the total lack of the sense of what the church is. Building the church of tomorrow for the people of today on the church of the ages. We're not concerned about building the church of tomorrow. We are concerned about the grimy task of trying to save our worthless souls. We are not concerned about the church of tomorrow. That's the language of the world. It's not the language of the church. So if that's what we are all about, then we all need to rethink our religion. Those who prefer the traditional Latin Mass here belong to the same church as those who perform the Mass in English, as if the Mass in English were only a translation, another lie. It's altogether different. It is a butchery of the true Mass along the lines of Protestant preferences. You'll often see the same folks at either one, according to what is best for their schedule that day. He has to be mum on everything, and he has to give communion to everyone. And in the new Mass, in the new religion, most of the people are in the mortal sin all the time. Most of the people are in the state of mortal sin. You are in the state of mortal sin if you go to the new Mass. Contraception. Some of them have never gone to confession for years. And he's not allowed to say, oh no, you cannot receive communion unless you disavow all the heresies, unless you get yourself in good condition with regard to God in the old religion. But he can't say that. He can't say anything in order really to help them to reform their lives and to become true Catholics. You see the compromise? You see the uselessness of all of it? And the deception? And always the people are the victims. The priests do their things and the people are the victims because they're lied to. The only straightforward thing about any of it is when they give their money, then everyone benefits. I'm going to finish with one last thing here. We all follow the same code of canon law, work under the guidance of the same archbishop and pope, and fully accept the new catechism of the Catholic Church. And if he does accept the new catechism, well then, he's just a modernist priest, because the new catechism is a modernist catechism. It is full from beginning to end of the suggestion of heresies. It is a scandal and a piece of subversion. It is a tremendous scandal. And he says it is the norm of one's belief at this church. Now the purpose of all that I'm saying to you, please understand, is not just to vent my spleen, it's not just to make this recording. It is to remind all of you that if you don't know what you're about here, be sure to consult me, and I'll spell it out as best I can. And if you go to the new Mass, you're not in place here. If you prefer the new Mass, you go. And we're well rid of you. If you don't know enough about your religion to see the difference. But you're going to answer if you don't conform to the old faith, the faith that comes from the apostles. You're going to answer for it. And anyone who swallows this kind of thing is going to answer before God for dishonesty in his own soul. Because this is not the Catholic faith. You can know the Catholic faith. It is not a mystery what Christ taught. What he taught was mystery. You follow me? We believe in mysteries, but we can know what the doctrine is. And that, by the grace of God, is what we teach here. If ever we err here, you call to my attention. And if you're confused about anything, we'll discuss it. No question is out of place here. At this parish, I assure you it is.